cheese.
You're tuned to The Record. I'm Steve Scherer.
And I'm David Hyde. And Steve, I know we usually save the sound of the day for the end of the show, but I'm going to play something for you right now, and I want you to guess what it is.
This is, it's buttery, very mild. That is yummy.
Well, Marcy's obviously enjoying some wonderful, perhaps some Wensleydale, or some Limburger, or some Munster.
I'm not sure what kind. She is enjoying some locally made cheese that Northwest cheese writer Tammy Parr brought in last week.
Did you have a chance to taste any yourself?
I did not, and I'm still kind of cheesed off about it, actually. People did, though, seem excited about it. Apparently, stinky cheese from the Northwest is making a name for itself. And Marcy Silman had a chance to talk to Tammy Parr about it.
What exactly is cheese?
Cheese is basically fermenting milk. So it's milk that, with the action of various microorganisms, bacteria, yeast, etc., is aging. And the art of the cheesemaker is to make that happen in a very tasty way.
And you can make cheese out of any kind of dairy?
Yeah, cow, sheep, and goat, of course, are the most common. But yeah, camel, anything that gives milk can be cheese
camel.
Can be made out of that, right? And, there was a thing in the news several months ago, maybe a year ago, where someone was making human cheese.
Ooh.
So, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm ready to try that, but...
So cheese, when I think about cheese, I think of it as always having existed. Is that true?
Pretty much, just in the sense that it goes back literally thousands of years. Ancient Egypt, there are, hieroglyphics with cheese making and ancient Greek pottery that they've tested the residue on the pottery and it has, it's milk.
Did the Native Americans who predated the white explorers here make cheese?
Yeah, no, that's the interesting thing. No, actually. In fact, the animals that we usually associate with cheesemaking, the cows, the sheep, and the goats, are not native species to North America or South America, for that matter. So they did not have the animals, but they were, a hunting and a gathering society, not a domestication and, agricultural society. And so we, i.e. the British, in the case of Pacific Northwest, brought it over.
I always think of the Pacific Northwest as a region famous for cherries and apples and mm-hmm. potatoes, timber. I don't think of it as a region famous for cheese. When did actual cheese production start here?
Well, if you go way back to the very beginning, it started in the, 1820s, 1830s, when the Hudson's Bay Company started making cheese at Fort Vancouver. But in terms of, maybe factory production in the sense of what we would think of it now, late 19th, early 20th century. In the Pacific Northwest, only a little over 100 years.
What kinds of cheese is the Pacific Northwest best known for?
I think in terms of the Pacific Northwest artisan cheese making, I think we're sort of just in the past 10 years kind of starting to gain a reputation nationally. And so we're sort of at that, tipping point where a lot of the makers are a little bit on the smaller side. Their cheese maybe gets to, between Portland and Seattle, maybe to San Francisco and not really to the East Coast. So we're kind of, they're growing a little bit. They're getting bigger. They're getting a reputation. And so, I think Rogue Creamery in Southern Oregon and Beecher's in Seattle are probably the best known of the Pacific Northwest.
When you talk about getting well-known in the Northwest, but not beyond that, isn't part of it that there's sort of a contradiction between making an artisan cheese and making a lot of artisan
line, yeah.
cheese? I mean, at a certain point, you're not making artisan cheese if you're
yeah.
making a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, the question of what is artisan, of course, it's partly philosophical. If you get to a big factory where you're making hundreds of thousands of pounds, if not tons, of cheese, that's obviously a whole nother level. There aren't any cheesemakers, even Beecher's is not anywhere close to that. So,
I'm talking with Tammy Parr, the only person I've ever been able to call it cheese writer Tammy Parr. Her new book is called Pacific Northwest Cheese, A History. And the greatest thing when you talk about cheese is that you get to actually eat cheese. You've brought in three kinds of cheese. They look different. They smell different. I think they would smell different if they were isolated.
Yes.
What are they exactly?
The sort of orangish, flattish cheese.
It's a disc.
Yes. It's sort of disc shaped. It's called Tipsu. It's made by Mountain Lodge Farm. I'm just so excited about Tipsu. I love it. So everywhere I go, I'm talking about Tipsu.
Okay, so the disc is Tipsu, which is very, very local for our listeners, Eatonville.
Yes.
I think I'll go to the hard cheese neck, what looks like from my vantage point, a hard cheese.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. That is called Island Brebis. That's made by Glendale Shepherd Creamery.
And Brebis is a sheep,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. They're on Whidbey Island, and they have sheep. This particular wheel, I talked to Lynn Swanson, the cheesemaker, and she said it was aged about 7 months. So it's getting to the point where it is starting to. Often when cheese ages for long periods of time, 6, 7, 8 months to a year, to more than a year, it will get those little protein crystals. And those are amino acids crystallizing over time with the aging process.
Do they lend a certain flavor that old,
yeah, I mean,
younger cheeses don't have?
Yeah, it's partly texture, and it's partly, you know, the entire experience of a cheese that has aged that long is going to be more concentrated, more intense. And this particular cheese kind of has a lovely caramely sort of flavor.
And the last cheese, I don't actually know how to. It looks like a very big version of the sort of European cheeses that you cut the rind off of.
This is called Cloud Cap. And that is made by Cascadia Creamery in Trout Lake, Washington. John Schumann, the cheesemaker, says he's going for an English territorial cheese.
What does that mean?
I think what he's kind of talking about there is a cheese that's very much of the area where it's from, and very reflective of the seasons. So he finds this to be his most seasonal cheese because the rind will change, the character of it apparently will change. During the winter, it's kind of dark and thick like you see here. And then if you buy this cheese in the spring, summer, it's going to be a little lighter, a little less dense. So
we'll have to take a picture before we actually cut in and start devouring them. They're very big. We can't eat them all here. You've been writing about cheese since 2004. When did you first become interested in cheeses?
You know, it's sort of partly a lifelong endeavor. I mean, I've always loved cheese. I've always kind of been a person who loved food and wanted to try all the strange food things. But also, you know, both my parents are from Wisconsin. My dad's side of the family are farmers, and I spent a lot of time growing up on my aunt and uncle's dairy farm, helping milk the cows, helping, you know, feed them and all that. So I kind of feel this kinship with dairy people, you know, on some level. I feel like I understand it.
You know, it's so interesting. When I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, we ate something called processed cheese or cheese product. It was called Velveeta. Mm-hmm. It came in a brick that looked a whole lot like Tillamook cheddar, I have to say, except it came in a box. That was cheese. These days, 2014, cheese, people like cheese. Nobody ate cheese when I was growing up, nobody where I lived ate real cheese.
Yeah. Well, partly, I mean, a couple things there. Processed cheese is a whole other animal. Processed cheese is basically cheese that's thrown in a big grinder and mixed up with a bunch of stuff that we probably don't even want to talk about.
Don't mention it. I'll worry about my genes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's no wonder that, you know. but also what had happened, kind of the progression of cheese making in the Pacific Northwest, but also kind of in the nation was, you know, it started out small farms and small farmers were making cheese on their farms, selling it locally. Cheese became industrial, like so many different kinds of food products. And the small farmer making the small, local, highly idiosyncratic cheeses basically died out. Not 100%, but very, very many of the small farmstead creameries were gone. And so you had pretty much all you had was the processed and maybe a block cheddar of some kind.
So what brought the real cheese back?
It's a little bit mysterious. I mean, there are economic factors and historical factors. There's basically the 1960s came along and people started to say, whoa, what happened here? What have we done with our food? What have we done with, you know, our society? Where are we going? What are we doing? And one of the things people did was go back to the land, start their own farms, and maybe get a couple goats for goat milk, being very, you know, wholesome and hippie. And, you know, oh, we have all this milk. What are we going to do with it? Wow, let's make cheese. We can make and sell the cheese. And so you mentioned Sally Jackson earlier. That's how she got started in the early 70s, just, you know, out in northeastern Washington.
So, Tammy, what's the one thing that our listeners should know if they are maybe at a farmer's market or at one of the specialty cheese shops that have sprouted up around the region?
Many. Yeah, and I would especially recommend Calf and Kid in Seattle. You know, a couple things. I mean, number one, don't be afraid to talk to the cheesemakers. Often the cheesemaker is right there at the farmer's market, and they love to talk, and they want to tell you about their animals and their farm and their cheese, and, you know, they want to, they really want, they're passionate about it, and they really want to talk about it. Secondly, do not be afraid of goat cheese. One of the things I hear from cheesemakers a lot is, oh, people, so many people say they hate goat cheese, they won't even try my cheese. And goat cheese shouldn't taste and does not taste goaty, or people have an association with musky or some kind of something. So don't worry about it. It's great. The quality of the goat's milk, you know, that these farmers are producing and making cheese out of is outstanding. So you have no worries there. So step away from that and to give it a try, and I think you'll be surprised.
Tammy Parr, author of the new book, Pacific Northwest Cheese, A History. She spoke with Marcy Silman. You're listening to The Record.